head into the theater and the usher nods me in. They know me here. I descend down the staircase behind the movie screen that only select people know about. The door at the bottom opens and I walk in. The sound of movie spoilers fill the air. The barkeep has my drink ready and motions me to the back. The rest of the crew are here already. This is my type of place, and these are my type of people. Join me as we discuss the inner secrets of cinema. Have a seat in the spoiler room.
Welcome to another edition of the spoiler room. It's going to be an interesting evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for journeying down the steps and pulling up a chair next to the crew as we sit and, yes, big surprise, talk about Solo, a Star Wars movie, a Star Wars story. That's what a lot of people are asking about Solo, and tonight we may try to answer some of the questions or at least give you an opinion that may be varied a bit from the interwebs. I'm not sure what my panel has to say, but it's always interesting. And first off, we have Dawn. Yes, the diva of the spoiler room is back. Hello, Dawn.
Good evening, Mark. Good evening, gentlemen.
What's up, Dawn?
Ooh. So glad to have you in here tonight to talk some Solo. And Andrew himself, Mr. Gonzrific, the lovely Andrew Shearer, is in his house. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Hey man, I wish I was wearing my cape. I really feel.
Yes,
I'm talking about Solo. I need to get a cape. So, just y'all, when you listen to my voice, imagine me in a cool cape of any color, surrounded by other capes of other colors.
Multicolored capes. Yes.
God damn, I want a cape. And I got a Dracula cape. That's not the same as a Lando cape.
No, you need a Lando cape that's silk. No,
they are different.
Yeah, they are. He's got some badass capes, actually.
Oh God, we'll talk about the cape.
Bedazzle it, and that'll be perfect.
Oh God, I know how to do it. Oh, I can just, yeah! just sweep up in any corner of my studio. I'll get enough to do it.
And next to the lovely Andrew Shearer is a man who also knows how to accessorize, only instead of a cape, he wears a bow tie. It is Mr. Paul Salzer. Hello, Paul.
Hello. I wish I did have a bedazzled bow tie. That'd be kind of interesting.
Don't tell people you don't have a bedazzled bow tie.
All right. So, through the power of editing, I have a wonderful bedazzled bow tie on tonight.
Yeah, like I'm going to edit that out. Oh, hell no. I'm leaving all that
in. Make it say bedazzled bow tie.
Bedazzled.
Oh.
Bedazzled.
Why not?
I'm going to drink my aged rum right now.
Oh, you're drinking rum too. Don has some rum, and you have
rum. Rum is all the good.
Yeah, it's aged rum, not because I bought it aged rum. It's because I waited this long to drink it.
It's
in that case, I just ate an aged Twix.
That always makes sound better, doesn't it?
It was under the seat of my car.
Was it still in the pet wrapper?
Mostly, yeah.
Oh, well, then it's all good. Yeah.
But left side?
No, it wasn't, but thanks. It was,
side or right side?
Nah, yeah. It was about, what are you talking about, passenger side? I would never touch nothing from the passenger side.
And speaking of the passenger side, yes, we have Solo and we have his friend Chewbacca, who we see how they meet for the first time. We have Lando Calrissian, and we have all those lovely names that we are familiar with from Solo's past, and we get to vision into Solo's past. And according to Ibim,
sorry, that was very punny.
It was very punny, wasn't it? It was a vision into Solo's past. We're feeling lucky. Anyway, during an adventure into the criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the rebellion. Though he never, I guess he joined the rebellion in Jedi. So yes. I guess you could say he did actually join the rebellion. But so as we always do, let's get some initial reactions here to Solo. I am very curious to hear people's thoughts Let's go with Don first. Don, credits rolled. The Star Wars music's playing. And how did you feel about initially about Solo?
I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any specific problem with it. I kind of wanted to see it again almost right away, simply because I felt I was so uncertain on how I felt about it. I liked, well, you know, as a Star Wars movie, it didn't have a lot of the main Star Wars-esque things. Mm-hmm. There were no Skywalkers.
Yay.
The main droids were missing. There was no Jedi. There was no lightsabers. It was a definitely different type of Star Wars movie.
Well, now let's... Yes, this is a spoiler room, folks, if you hadn't caught it by now. Let's get to, there was lightsaber for a very short period of time at the very
for
end.
For like 2 seconds.
Yes, for like 2 seconds. Okay. Yeah. So, but yes, it is not your traditional Star Wars film that we are used to up to this point. Even Rogue One had the Force and Jedi and all that fun stuff, at least mentioned in the forefront. This one, it's barely even touched on or not even really mentioned at all. So I found that quite interesting. Andrew, how about you when the credits rolled on this? I know it's a CGI fest and that usually kind of puts you to sleep, but how'd you feel about this?
I was actually cool. I mean, I was happy at how there's one monster near the beginning that was like, if that was CGI, it was really good. It seemed like a puppet to me.
Oh, Miss Proxima, like, Lady Proxima?
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, are they into a big puppet right now? That was really cool to me. I thought it was really good. No, I really like this one, man. I found it exciting, interesting. Wish they would have kept Tandy Newton around a little longer, but you know, what are you gonna do? This the movie's still like, at least they let the other black person live, so that was awesome.
That's true.
But you know, huh? But like, yeah, I was actually surprised for people to. You know, I didn't read anything anyone said bad about it because I actually don't give a shit what they think. But like, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, people are bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like they can't enjoy nothing no more. But I thought as a Star Wars movie, it was quite exciting. And I didn't miss all the heavy drama that's kind of been, you know what I mean? Like the staple of a lot of the last few, as much as I like Rogue One, it's still really heavy story, you know, all that death and shit. So it was cool to, I don't know. I would say if you were upset about Han Solo dying, like, whoa, wait a minute here. He's back. Everything's cool. And he's not a CGI Harrison Ford. He's you know, an actual human being. Yeah. they didn't do a Carrie Fisher with it like in Rogue One.
Oh, thank God. I don't know if I could watch a whole movie like that. sorry, just looks too much like a
it's gonna happen.
Video game cutscene. It just does.
I didn't mean to derail that. You asked me.
No,
I like the movie. Yeah.
Cool. And Paul, how about you, sir?
A Star Wars story. I liked Rogue One better. I thought it hit more of the Star Wars-esque elements. As a heist film, this movie was great. It was exciting. It hit all of the things that you would expect a heist film to have as well. So if you take it kind of out of the context of the Star Wars fanboy that I wanted to be, it's a much better film when you don't put it into, oh, this is going to be the next great Star Wars film. I didn't do that. And that's why I think I enjoyed myself a lot better by just saying, this is going to be a wonderful science fiction movie heist type film. And that's what I got out of it. And yeah, I did get some background stories on some of the characters that I really, really wanted to revisit. So that was kind of an added bonus for me. I'm glad they made this movie.
Yeah, I am too, actually. And I enjoyed this. And I you know, Star Wars in my DNA and that. And I watched it and I enjoyed it more than my good friend who's also a diehard Star Wars fan. But, you know, I overlooked some things a little bit just because with this one, you guys all hit it on the head though, that this isn't your normal Star Wars film. And that's not a bad thing, but it can be jarring for people who are expecting that type of thing. I mean, even Rogue One, though it tried to be, you know, different, and check out our episode where we discussed Rogue One, you know, it was still felt like a Star Wars type film. It had a lot more changes to the formula, but there was still some of it there. You had the Force and all that. And that's not a bad thing. It's just with these spinoff movies, what they did with Solo is kind of what I would like to see them do going forward with more of these side stories, these Star Wars stories, films, you know, do something different than what we've seen in the Star Wars saga, because, you know, now here, did they have to do it as a Solo film? That can be off-putting for some. That kind of put me back, but I enjoyed this film, but when I went into it, in all honesty, I completely forgot it was supposed to be a Han Solo origin film. I just took it as a heist film taking place in the Star Wars universe, you know, and you get to see some familiar faces and such, you know, Lando Calrissian especially, who we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, you know, but I dug it. I had fun. In fact, the only parts where it kind of took me out of when they were trying to bring up the historical elements. This film, I think, for me, worked the best when it stayed a heist film. When you got the little bits of, you know, of trying to do historical reference and, or as, you know, the scenes of nostalgia, if you will, you know, things that we had heard from in the past, like the Kessel Run and all that. When it's kind of comes into the forefront and feels a bit inserted, that took me a little bit away. It was best for me when it was not trying to do that. That's why in the third act, I had a few little quibbles with it, with them alluding more to, you know, early rising of the rebellion. You know, that part I would have preferred. I didn't hate it, but it was one of those where I was like, okay, here's the part where they're trying to play kind of more towards the fans. You know, to me, I just dug the whole heist element of the people double-crossing each other and all of that stuff. I'm like, this is awesome, a heist film in Star Wars. We get to see the underbelly of Star Wars. Because up until now, you know, we've mostly seen the high class, the polished Star Wars. You know, even the bad guys were mostly polished. I mean, you had Jabba, but here... Andrew, we get that more underbelly of Star Wars to where things aren't really polished and clean, especially the warfare. How'd you feel about that, getting to see the view of the underbelly of the Star Wars universe?
It's cool. It's different. You know, I mean, everybody's got to remember when you're listening to this in the future or whatever, there was just another Star Wars movie, like at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So, like... you can't just do another lightsaber movie now. I mean, we got give us a minute. You know, this isn't Marvel where the story is continuing and shit, or another episode of a TV show or something. You know, let's do something else. So I like that. We all know that Han Solo as a character is kind of good and kind of bad, you know, and so it was neat to have that element too. I was happy with all of that. We don't need everything to be all about. I'll tell you what I hate the most about Star Wars, the thing that I just don't give a crap about, like all the politics of like the trade federations and all of that shit. Like, I don't care about that. You know, I don't care about it. This was a cooler, like almost like a genre film within a genre film, like you were saying, you know, kind of a little bit Western-y, a little bit war movie, you know, stuff like that. So. I don't miss all of that stuff. I didn't miss it.
Yeah, I loved how this film opened with this underworld with the Lady Proxima stuff. I mean, Paul, I know you like your heroes shiny and clean.
Yes.
But how'd you like this first act, this opening, where we get to kind of see Solo living in the underworld, if you will, the underbelly of Star Wars? I mean, we don't get to see this much of that part of the world. So how'd you feel about this and the whole Lady Proxima story?
Was nice and refreshing to have, because you almost always expect, like, okay, you're gonna have the establishing shot of the spaceship and then they're gonna pan down and you're gonna see a planet, and that's, you know, that's what you're gonna expect. But instead you get this kind of a essentially the the scene that you expect heist movies to have, which is a car chase. And I liked that whole bat. And the fact that they made Han Solo as a young kind of kid, he felt more like Han Solo to me than you know, even the Harrison Ford portrayal of Han Solo, which is kind of an odd thing to say, right? But it was really this kind of, you know, it was like when they showed young Indiana Jones in, mm-hmm. in the Indiana Jones film, you got to see him kind of establish his character in that thing. And it was very exciting, very refreshing. And I'm glad that they didn't go with what I had expected them to do. So yeah, it was a good choice. There's not much more I can say about that. It was a good choice.
I think so too. I love Lady Proxima and the whole vision and the world that they built there for the underworld, you know, the hierarchy and all of that. Don, how'd you feel with this film opening and we get the whole kind of sub story here of Solo and his first love and Lady Proxima?
I liked it a lot. Han Solo has always been one of my favorite characters. I mean, 5 years old when this movie comes out, first crush, all that crap. But it makes a lot of sense to have this be a heist film without any of the Jedi crap in it. Because he always made Han Solo in the later movies or in the original movies always maintained that he never believed in the Force because all he believed in was having a good luck and having a good blaster at his side. And this really reinforces that there's no magic. It's just your wits and well-maintained equipment. And it's all about what you can do and the friends you make, and even your friends you really can't count on, because his lady love you can't count on.
No, his lady love, Kira, played by Emilia Clarke, who I still can't get over seeing with dark hair. it's like sitting there, I'm watching her, I'm like, my brain really is trying to put blonde hair on her. I'm so sorry. It's like, I know she's got to be fighting hard to get rid of that, you know, stereotype, but still, it was like, oh, no, that is not the mother of dragons. No, this is someone else. So her character took an interesting arc, but an arc that you kind of expect in a heist film. So, I mean, it is a bit formulaic, but it's the heist formula, and I thought it worked well. You know, it fit for him. Because Solo, as you said, Don, you know, did believe in the Force, so we wouldn't have a story that involved the Force. We wouldn't have that. This is a completely different side of the world, and I think that can be also jarring for some of the visitors. Now, we do get because it is known that Solo was an Imperial soldier for a while, and we get this war scene, which actually is rather dark versus some of the other war scenes we've had in the past with Star Wars. But, of course, things take a turn where he meets his mentor, soon Beckett, played fantastically by Woody Harrelson. And but Woody kind of gets Solo stuck in a pen, and this is where he gets to meet Chewbacca. Paul, how'd you feel about this iconic first meeting between the dynamic duo of Star Wars?
It was one of the highlights of the films for me, because I like the idea that they didn't just start out as friends, you know, or in a situation where, maybe they were all kind of locked up together. Well, they were, but you know what I mean? But right. they would like try to break out together. No, I liked the idea of them fighting each other and then slowly kind of realizing that they had to work together to get out of their situation, because that's so much what you expect Han and Chewie to be like. It's like they end up getting themselves into these awkward situations, and because they're together, they always get out of it. And that's what that whole scene was like, and it represented that for me. And it was And I also forgot how much Han actually understood how Chewie spoke. You know, it was one of those things where, yeah, in the original things, he would hear him and then he would reply back. But in this film, it honestly felt like, oh yeah, he does understand it, and he was actually trying to talk to him, which was another thing that I thought was like, it was great to have him try to talk back to him rather than to talk in the Galactic Common or whatever, because everybody speaks English in the future or past or whatever.
It was the first time I think we've ever had a human trying to talk Wookiee.
Yes.
He actually did it well. You know, it was like, oh, that's an impressive sound. John, how about you with Star Wars, these two icons meeting up for the first time? Did you like how this played out? You know, was it disappointing? Or
it wasn't disappointing. It made it was logical. Mm-hmm. I mean, people meeting under stress or individuals meeting under stress do tend to have a stronger bond.
It
was logical to the story.
Well, what's interesting though is his character though is really cocky in this, but it seems like nobody ever takes him seriously, not even Chewbacca after they get out. It's like, oh yeah, we're done, and he's dragging him by the chain, which I kind of enjoyed the fact that here we have a hero who, you know, he does have skill in that, but he is a bit cocky and a bit arrogant, yet he doesn't really charm anyone. Andrew, how'd you feel with this meeting of Chewie and Han, and would you say that Han Solo's arrogance really doesn't get him very far?
No, it's funny though, man. He just is a go for it type of dude. It's neat because we know the old Han Solo, you know, how long do you think between this movie and the first Star Wars? How many years do you think it was?
I looked it up. It's supposed to be 10 years.
A lot of shit can happen to you in 10 years, especially if you live a life like what he does. Mm-hmm. And so it was neat to see how like he would start. He wasn't like all, you know, wide-eyed and whatever, like how, you know, like the prequel trilogy was basically the story of the galaxy's biggest asshole. And, you know, nobody really wanted to see that. But like, this is like, he's an interesting guy, man. We want to see like, was he always like that? Answer is yeah. I mean, he seemed like he would take any chance. I guess the sense that I got was it seemed like the writers really enjoy writing a person like that, because you just there whatever shit's gonna happen, he's gonna do it. You know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, because he never saw himself as a hero, so he just did whatever.
for real.
He was still a good guy. He still did some things good, you know, reluctantly. But in the end, yeah, he really was a guy who thought of himself a lot. And yeah, I dug that too, for a hero to be like that. And he still had the swagger, though.
He did, man. He did. And did you feel like, I'm sorry, man. Did you feel like Woody Harrelson's character was a little bit of kind of a, like a little bit of a, not a template, let's say, but like he got some, there was some Han Solo, like later Han Solo-ish shit about that guy.
Oh, about Beckett? Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would say for sure that he really felt that way. You could see it, and it made sense because he was a mentor. I'm like, I can see now where the older Solo kind of got that from. He got it from this guy, Beckett. Yeah.
Like how a guy, what kind of a person would see a guy like that going like, that's who I need to be hanging out with, you know?
Yeah, you're right. He is a template. Don't. What do you think about that? Would you say Beckett kind of had some of the characteristics we saw in the older Han?
To a point. Mm-hmm. You can definitely see that Han took some aspects but drew a line.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he is a good guy.
at heart, he is a good guy, yes. More good, at least, than Beckett was, who I loved.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, but Woody Harrelson, I think, surprises everybody, because he's getting all this work now because he shows he can actually do some characters. And I loved his Beckett in this quite a bit. and I've grown to become a really big fan of Woody Harrelson. I always thought he was a decent actor. But Paul, how about you? How'd you feel about Beckett? And would you say he had elements of older Han?
He had to, because you can't. Otherwise, he would have been the worst mentor in all of Star Wars history. I mean, because every single one of the Star Wars films that you can kind of like come to memory, they always had that mentor, you know, kind of apprentice type of thing going. And so this one did have that going for it. And so, yes, you got to see a lot of the prototypical Solo in Beckett. And I'm glad that they didn't make him a replacement for the, you know, older Solo. I like the idea that, like Don said, that the Han Solo character drew a line and said, okay, this is where I'm going to go. And you can definitely see the lessons that he learned, because it was like, okay, his lessons of trust and his reliance on a blaster and all these things came up in the movie. And you could see where, okay, yeah, I could see where that would have affected his outlook on life. Mm-hmm. So it was very nice to be able to see that come out. And like, if Solo hadn't grabbed anything from Beckett, then like I said, he would have been just the worst mentor ever.
Although, word to the wise, anyone living in the Star Wars universe, a mentor job tends to be short-lived. Just to let you know, mentors tend to get killed. Even in Han Solo's world of Star Wars, mentors tend to get killed.
Mentor would be the hero, and you don't want that. The apprentice has to become the hero.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know, every mentor seems to get killed. It just seems to happen that way. And if you felt the ground shake and felt a tremor in the force, that is because we've also now been joined by the BFD, Mr. Glenn Bittner. Hello, Glenn. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, what's up, Glenn?
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, fella. How you feeling, man?
Tired.
He okay. Moved a whole store in 4 hours. He's a big store.
Not just a small store, a big store.
Store. Yes.
Yes.
He carried it on his back. I
would share my room with you, but I drank it all.
Yeah. That's okay. I have scotch.
Butterscotch?
Not that type of scotch. We were just talking about Woody Harrelson and Beckett's character and how he kind of had some elements of what we saw in the original Harrison Ford Solo. Would you say you saw some of those elements as well, Glenn? And how'd you feel about Woody Harrelson's Beckett?
Which elements?
Harrison Ford.
Just
the Harrison Ford Solo, some of the elements, you know, of his character.
In
the Beckett character, although he's not quite as backstabbing as Beckett was. So.
No, but he's as cocky.
Yeah.
I'd say he's more cocky and less cocksure.
Yeah, I could say that. Now, how'd you feel about Woody Harrelson as Beckett? Do you think that was a kind of a nice fit? Did you like his performance?
I like Woody Harrelson and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
I'm still amazed every time I see him in anything, and I'm like, that's the idiot from Cheers.
That's what runs through my mind, too, is that was Woody from Cheers. Mm-hmm. Wow, look at that. He's really acting the hell out of this. Another person who acted the hell out of this, though, and one I want to talk about, is Mr. Donald Glover, Lando Calrissian. Glenn, how did you enjoy, did this feel like Lando, and how'd you like Donald Glover's performance as Lando?
He's great as Lando.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people are complaining because they're like, you know, they make him to be kind of a skeez. you know, he's not a good guy.
No.
And the thing is that, you know, it's, even if you look and, you know, it plays perfectly with Empire. Mm-hmm. You know, he sells Han out and he's like, this was a bad idea. And he doesn't like turn around and help Luke and them out in the end because out of the goodness of his heart, it's because, oh yeah, I'm getting the shaft here. So I'm screwed either way, so I need to do something. Right. And he doesn't really, like, you know, come around to like redeeming himself until you get to Jedi. You know, where then it's like, yeah, now I'm part of the rebellion, you know, and I'm gonna you know, play the good guy. But and he's not like he's an awful person. He's just really not a good person. And he's out for Lando.
Yeah, he's out for Lando. Andrew, how about you with Lando Calrissian's Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian? How'd you feel about this?
This is what made me want to see the movie the most, to be honest with you, man. I just, you know, to me, you want to talk about, like, my main thing about not being into science fiction, I think, is just because it's just seemed like a lot of white characters for the most part, you know? And as I got older, the more I was looking at it going like, you got all this imagination and all these special effects and all this fantasy, and you can only imagine white people doing it. You know, just to me, that started to bother me, you know? But then Lando, he's just a really important person. He's an important character to a lot of friends of mine, too. And I know a lot of people didn't know who this Alden Ehrenreich guy was. I'd seen him in Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie, and I thought he reminded me more of like a young Jack Nicholson than a Harrison Ford. But I was like, I liked him, man. He'll be cool, but I knew that people didn't know him. Donald Glover, people knew. Like, that's the star of Solo, Star Wars stories, is Donald Glover. And so, as Lando, you didn't really get a big sense of him in Star Wars. I mean, you got enough because Billy Dee is great, but he has to give him dimension here. You know, he's got more screen time, more of a character written for him. So he's got to really go for it. And when he goes seeing what the Millennium Falcon looked like when it was new, before it got all beat and shit, you know, because everybody thinks of the Falcon as this piece of crap, like from the beginning,
right?
You know, all the old Star Wars, to see it new and the dude who was taking care of it and stuff, and then going back in there and seeing all his capes. I was like, don't cut away from this. Now let me see those capes. You know, I was just so into, I can see why people really want to see a Lando movie, because I'm like, what a fascinating, you know, where has he been? What has he seen? I mean, it's clear that he also, like Glenn said, he's not that great of a dude. And, you know, he clearly, remember when he kissed Princess Leia's hand?
Yeah.
You know, try to put the moves on her and stuff. And Han was like, hey, you know, Leia would just, that was so good. So it was cool to see, I don't know, just Star Wars backstory. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. There's still more crappy movies about that than there is good movies about that. So they couldn't help but make it better, you know, like with this. I was very happy with Donald Glover. It was great. I can't tell you who else would have been right for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either on that.
I love the story he talks about when he met Billy Dee Williams, and he was like asking him questions about like how to play Lando and all this stuff, and like just, and he goes, basically he's like, he wasn't even listening to anything I said, and then he's like, what? Just be charming. That's, yeah. That was all of his advice about how to play Lando. Be charming.
He should have said, don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Colt 45.
It would have been so great. Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
What drink will he have, son? Colt 45. I would have said, playing Sabacc.
No. Just don't be Dracula, because when you put on a cape, there's two people you could be, Dracula or Lando.
Be Lando.
Colt be Lando, 45. Don't be Dracula. Or T-Rex. Because you can't really move your hands.
Yeah,
dude. Andrew, we've talked about this. I mean, we are set up for Space Blackula. All we need is Lando to get bit by a vampire, and you've got Space Blackula.
I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up, but if you want to know my dream and my life, what Glenn just said.
Space Blackula.
The planet of the naked space vampire. Episode whatever, I don't care. A Star Wars story.
Don, how'd you feel about Donald Glover's Lando?
I thought he nailed it. Definitely had the charm. The body language was all there. The swagger. The Yeah.
Well, even the voice inflection, there were some lines that he delivered that I was just like, holy crap, he nailed it. It sounded just the way Lando talked in Empire. It was like, you know, he really got into this role. And I, as I put it in my review, I mean, Alden did all right, but he has a great cast and group of characters around him to really help him in this film, because this is kind of a big movie for, you know, for him to carry on his shoulders, especially the character he's playing. And I thought he did all right. But I think the cast of characters around him or the actors around him, their performances really helped him along. Paul, how about you? Would you, your feeling with Donald Glover and Lando?
Like Don said, and the others, he did it perfectly. He is the character that you would expect Lando to be. He is, so whereas Solo is more of the swashbuckling rogue, he is more of the super spy rogue. And I'm glad that they didn't lose that. I'm glad that they kept him the way he was. I'm glad that they didn't start him out as being an entirely righteous character. I wanted him to be the guy that, like everyone had already stated before, that he is kind of in it for himself type of character. But he also is doing it for the protection of his own group, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect of him. I love the fact that they kind of jokingly laughed at the whole cape thing, you know? It's like, how can somebody have so many capes? Oh my goodness.
I love the capes though.
I did too. It was a great thing for his character. And also I just like Andrew stated, I loved the idea that the Millennium Falcon, I think it was Andrew that said this, that it was taken care of. It was something that he prided himself in. So it was meticulously like you would do, like how he pampered himself, you know. You could expect him to have pedicures and manicures and man sculpting, you know, every day. you expected him to do that to the Falcon as well. Whereas Han Solo, the way the Falcon looked matched how Han Solo was. You know, he was all about getting the job done, getting it to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was very nice that they kept that aspect of it. And you needed Lando in this film. I don't think this film would have worked without Lando in it. Just wouldn't have, because you need that kind of opposite mirror of Solo to make this film work as well as it did. So,
he's just such an interesting character. They really put thought in writing him, and you do want to see more. In fact, I'd love to see a Lando film with Donald Glover. Because, and then a side note, I guess the three stories that you hear him kind of talking about at the Sabacc tables are actually from the extended universe, the book, the Lando Calrissian Chronicles, where he kind of mentions it or whatnot. I guess that's actually, those were taken from actual stories of Lando's experiences. I believe I read that somewhere. So I thought that was interesting. But Lando was awesome in this. And then there's his sidekick, and we'll talk about him, and then I want to get to questions and see what you guys talk about, and then maybe we'll talk about the villains in here who are just kind of there. But how is it in a Star Wars story, both a Star Wars story films, the people who actually steal the show are the robots? In the first one, it was, I forgot his name right now, but the robot in the first one stole his show in every scene he was in. And in here we have L337, voiced by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Dawn, how'd you feel about her?
She was entertaining. It was, her story did not surprise me at all. I was actually totally expecting it. It worked for me.
The whole droid revolution.
The droid revolution thing on Kessel.
Yeah. Well, I just like how
she... it, it,
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I liked how she wasn't shy about her thoughts on anything. There was, like, no filter for her robot at all. Glenn, how about you? Did you like L?
Power the droids. Woo. Freedom. Yes, I did.
What did you think about the relationship they had, her and Lando?
I liked it. Especially when she says, you know, the whole thing about, you know, how he has feelings for her, but, you know, when she's talking with, what's her face?
Oh, yeah, with Kira.
And you're like, you know, there's that kind of thought where I'm like, I'm thinking at that moment, thinking, she's going to die and Lando's going to cry. I already know it. And so, you know, it's she says it like it's just some kind of, like, you know, like we're supposed to laugh, say, ah, the droid thinks that Lando's in love with it. He kind of was.
Yeah.
So I liked it was an interesting relationship because it also shows again that the whole thing of, you know, you have the droids where, yes, they are created, but I mean, they do have, you know, a kind of, you know, sentience to them.
Didn't that robot build itself, though? Didn't they say it built itself?
She programmed herself.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
she programmed herself to, that's how, why she was so free talking about her human oppressors.
That's cool. That's a cool idea.
Yeah. Andrew, I imagine you dug L.
Yeah. Well, you know what's neat, man? Like, they always, like, Han Solo and Lando, like, they always seem, like, real attached to this ship like it's a person, yeah. You know? And it kind of is, like, because they say, you know, they put the robot's brain into the ship, basically. Yeah. Like, it becomes what, like, the navigational system or mm-hmm. something like that?
Yeah, it's basically the computer that runs the Falcon. It actually is her robotic programming, basically.
That's neat because, you know, it's like a thing with dudes in their cars or at ships or all of that shit where in movies and even in life, they always like say she, you know, like give this kind of female kind of thing about their, you know, their ship or their mm-hmm. car or whatever. But the Millennium Falcons always seem like a character. So it's a neat way to kind of like explain that without getting too explainy. It just seemed like it happened as naturally as something like that could possibly could. It was a neat, you know, it didn't seem like a forced type of fan service, you know, which is they're still kind of struggling with. And sometimes they do a great job and other times you're like, oh man, okay. Like it seemed a little more subtle, you know?
Well, it was. I knew where they were going. Well, it was one of those things where there are a lot of predictable things in this because it is basically a basic heist film, but I don't mind predictability if they do the right things with it. And when I saw when she hooked up the first time when she was still a robot and she banged herself because the computer, just like the cockpit did in, you know, Empire when Solo hit the control panel, she did the exact same thing. Like, oh my God, are they going to put her programming in the computer? Like, and then they did. And I was really happy they went there because I'm like, yeah, it totally makes the Falcon even more of a character now.
But I wonder though, how like in between this and Star Wars or whatever, mm-hmm. or the in between, I guess there wasn't a time where like Han might have sex with the ship. Because you know, like there was. No, hear me out.
Okay.
God damn it.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just playing.
I love you, Andrew.
Hey, let's check it out. Am I wrong? The robot says something about like, oh, it works between humans and robot. Like yeah. she makes an allusion
yes,
to they've been doing it. So, what ship was it that had this like little crazy hole that like R2-D2 puts this little thing in? That wasn't the Millennium.
The Death Star had that.
Yeah, it was.
Come on, which one? I don't know all the shit. Which one was it?
Every interface just about in the Empire, it was a standard interface where R2 brought up. Andrew, you really bring these thoughts out.
I'm not the only one that thinks
that. Yeah, exactly. Well, you had to have thought that. Come on.
I never
actually. And in, I forget which one it was. C-3PO tries to interface with the Millennium Falcon and makes reference to the fact that, She's got attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, you know, so, fuck you, C-3PO.
It was already there.
She doesn't want you.
She wanted R2.
Yeah, man. It's like, get your robotic finger out of my... Anyway, hey. There we go.
That's the thing. I mean, compare the sizes of the interface devices.
Paul and Don got me on this. They got me on this.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how we got here, but there it is.
I have no idea how we got here either, but it's with L because
droids.
It's because of that conversation she had. And
I'm not inferring shit. She was pretty clear about it.
Well,
they did all but show, you know, like details of how it happens. So there.
Yes. Well, and that's the controversy. Some people fired up when they when the writers said that Lando Calrissian was pansexual. And he liked, you know, everything, and just as well as robots. And Paul, how'd you feel about this aspect and L the robot?
Honestly, didn't bother me at all. It was a great thing to have in there. It was an added layer that they haven't explored before. The only complaint that I had with her was that she was way too good. She stole a lot of the scenes too many of the times. And I sort of lost part of the story because I was just watching for her and watching for what she was going to do. And I didn't care about the, I mean, her whole droid liberation thing was kind of a side fun note, you know, it was kind of a side thing, and it took away from the main plot, but she was so good at it that I felt drawn into that. And it was less like that. That was my only complaint, that she was way too good. I didn't bother me about her sexuality. I just spent most of the Memorial Day weekend playing Detroit Almost Human, and I fell in love with those characters. Not to the point where I was sticking my, you know what, in the control port.
Wow, that's.
But I love the characters because I emotionally bonded with all of the characters there. So it is possible to have emotions for things, especially in this particular world where the object can give back the same emotions. That's what a relationship should be about, is like exchanging of emotions and stuff like that. And that's what they had. And who cares if Lando had to, you know, Lando was kind of a player. I mean, Billy Dee, the way he played him off, was a player. And you could expect him to kind of like rub himself off on everything.
Wow, that's...
I mean, he's not wrong, dude.
He's not wrong. You're not wrong at all. It didn't feel out of place with this whole relationship between Lando and L. I didn't think felt
it great.
It didn't feel out of place. No, it was great. It. So, L, and thank you, Paul, for sending me the name K2SO. I felt the same way about him as far as stealing the show.
So funny, man. So good.
Every scene they're in. So in both Star Wars stories, and I hope it's a trend that continues if they keep doing more Star Wars stories. Yeah, give me a robot like that in every Star Wars story, and I'm right there. Because
isn't so that far, better though than a monster or a little creature guy?
Oh yeah, they're two for two with robots who steal the show for sure.
Yeah, that's way better.
So we're gonna go down the line now, and I've asked my crewmates here to bring something they want to talk about we may not have touched on already. I know we didn't talk about the villains, but it may come up in one of their questions. So we'll start with Paul. Paul, you have a question or topic that you maybe want to bring up that we haven't talked about yet with a Solo, a Star Wars story?
I love how you make that little inflection at the end. What? I wanted to know is how would you like basically what I already stated when you got my first impressions. I thought this was a great heist film versus a Star Wars film. I want to see what the rest of the panel says, how they answer the question. How do you think this plays as a heist movie versus a Star Wars movie? Is it a better Star Wars movie or a better heist film?
Glenn, what do you think? We'll start with you.
I think it's an okay Star Wars film. Because it's overshadowed by how good of a heist film it is.
Yes.
I think it's a very good heist film. I mean, yes, there are parts that are predictable, but I mean, if you've seen enough heist films, it's hard for them to be like, oh, we're really going to spin this one in a way you're not going to see. It's like, there's only so many ways it can go. So, but I think they did a good job. It was the same reason. It's the same way I feel like with Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man is an okay Marvel movie, but it's a really good heist movie. And I feel the same way with this, that it's fine in its universe, but it stands out more as just a heist film set in that universe. So,
right. They could have almost got away with it not being Solo necessarily, just a character. But, of course, it's Solo to pull in the name recognition in that, you know, and explore that. Don, how about you?
Oh, I definitely think it's a great heist film. It actually was kind of a relief that it was such a good heist film because they did pull it so far away from the typical Star Wars-esque tropes that it was able to stand on its own and yet still fit that character in appropriately. And there's only so many things you can do with Solo because he is who he is.
Yeah.
You know what his romantic future is going to be. You know where he's going to end up. You know that he is a scoundrel with the heart of gold. You know all these things. There's only so much you can do with that and still make a good story. And I think that they really successfully did that in this. So I think it's a better heist film because it couldn't have been a better Star Wars film. I think that had they tried to make a better Star Wars film, and you can't see my air quotes, they would have failed.
Andrew, how about you?
I mean, I don't know much about heist movies. It's not really one of my genres, but I do think that if these movies are really supposed to stand on their own, which I have a feeling they aren't, they do all need to kind of pick a genre and make a movie of that type rather than go like, you know, try to make a Star Wars movie that's not one. There's no real way to do that, you know. But I applaud their interest in experimentation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, which is always risky because, you know, Disney's on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah, you nailed it on the head there, especially, you know, Last Jedi too. They did something different in Star Wars, and it started the spark that burned the flame of rage within the fanboy's heart.
They don't need the money of them dudes who are about to have a heart attack in the next 10 years. They're not interested in those dudes' money that, you know, are fused to their basement chair. That's not the future. Don't make a movie for them. They're gonna die, you know. Yeah. Get the kids money. Get them in there. They're already giving them, you know, good movies, way better than the ones the kids that, you know, came up on the Phantom Menace got, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. I agree with all of you. This is best when it's a heist film. When it tries to be a Star Wars film, it kind of loses me just a little, but I love the whole heist aspect of this and everything about it and learning about the underworld of Star Wars and that and getting to see that end of it. And it plays out really well as one of those types of films. And so I was happy to see they went that route with it because it's the route I was hoping they would do rather than just try to focus on just the origin of Solo. No, this is actually a heist film with aspects of Solo's history worked into it, you know, for the most part. It wasn't just a origin story, which I appreciated quite a bit. So, Don, how about you? Did you have a question or something we haven't talked about yet that you wanted to bring up to the panel?
Well, we talked about most things, but I guess one of the things that I wanted to ask is, does anybody else suddenly want to go watch the Clone Wars series? Something I never did, but suddenly after watching this, especially that little end blurb, I suddenly want to go watch Clone Wars and Rebels.
Oh, the big reveal, which I would never have thought they would have brought into canon. The thing that really sparked many people.
Clone Wars and Rebels is canon, though.
It is. That's true. Clone Wars and Rebels.
That's why they were able to bring him in.
So, yes. Paul, how'd you feel about the twist reveal at the end of a certain individual known as Darth Maul and his robotic legs are live action canon now?
I smiled. I really did. But mm-hmm. but part of me was like, no, they didn't have to do this. They could have made it just as mysterious and I would have been fine with it. But that's cool. They didn't have to. They didn't have to, but they did go there. And I was like, ah! I smiled. I smiled.
Glenn, how'd you feel about the reveal at the end of the Crimson Dawn leader being Mr. Maul. Darth Maul?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Not particularly because I'm like a huge fan of Darth Maul. I loved it because the number of people who left the theater going, how the hell is Darth Maul alive? I thought he got cut in half.
Made it all worthwhile. Of course, they're probably walking past people who haven't seen the film yet, and they're going, hey, what about Darth Maul? If you're like, what? Wait, what do you mean Darth Maul? Spoilers, damn you! And then starts the whole brawl. No.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Or people wondering, like, is that like a brother of Darth Maul? Is that like... So, yeah, that's, I like it just for that reason.
Nice.
And I do like that they are tying some of the films together to other stuff. Mm-hmm. The, like, that they're tying Rebels to some of the stuff, because you had the tie-in of Rebels to Rogue One.
Right. Mm.
And now you have a tie-in basically from Rebels to here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, they really seem to be working that cartoon series to being, since they do say it's canon, working those elements into the live action, which is interesting to see play out. Andrew, how'd you feel with the Darth Maul reveal?
Well, I mean, it's like there's good and bad, you know. On the good side, I do always appreciate when something has so much mythology, so many characters, all this stuff. I'm always in favor of them pulling from an existing thing rather than just inventing some new shit for the movies. Sure. Because as someone who read like the X-Men, for example, when I was a kid, I would like in the movies for them to keep bringing in characters that were, you know, from the comics rather than just coming up with, you know, Zoot Nose or some crazy shit. You're like, fucking, why'd you do that when there's this other cool thing, you know? Yeah. So I appreciate that. On the other hand, not a big enough Star Wars fan to give a fuck about the games, the books, the TV. I don't care. I've never seen none of it. I don't care. I just watch the movies only. So in that regard, I was like, don't bring up that old shit. I was like seeing some ex-girlfriend at a party going like, oh, no. And I see her in good light now. Oh, fuck, get her out of here. No. We're supposed to act like that didn't happen, you know?
Phantom Menace is like your ex-girlfriend in good light. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like just, no, man. No. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Trying to block that out, you know? Oh. So that was my reaction to it. So, it's, you know, it's cool and not. You know, but anything that's mm-hmm. make nerds happy is cool, because I don't want them being mad, you know.
Well,
that's
all I do. You know? He had a badass double lightsaber this time, too. It made sense. You know, at first, a little bit, it caught me. I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. And I'm like, they actually brought him back with the robotic legs and all. I did not think I'd see that in live action.
It was just...
But it did work with his character, and it kind of made sense. He was actually the head of Crimson Dawn. You know, because if he's a baddie that's still alive, it kind of made sense. He was it. And you know they're playing at that then to being able to bring him back somewhere else. Watch him show up in episode 9. If you really think you got fan rage now...
it's more of just jarring. Like, I guess it's good as not jarring.
Oh!
But still, dude, still, you gotta understand, man. You gotta understand. I was like, I'm so proud of these new movies for, you know, making everything look all lived in and good. And I just love the aesthetic of all of them, you know. But then that shit just reminded me of the ones that, you know, not
too
like
polished.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, how about you? I imagine you have a topic or something that we may have not touched on yet that you'd like to talk about.
Oh, man, I had a couple things that I thought of, but I can't remember. But hold up, I'm going to get it. Oh, okay. Well, earlier I mentioned that I got the feeling that maybe these all weren't standalone like they say. I'll tell you why I think that. Because this dude, don't know if the deal's still on, but the guy, Alden Ehrenreich, that plays Han Solo, they said he was signed on to do more movies with them.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do more movies if it's a one, you know what I'm saying? If this is supposed to be a one-shot. My only thought is this, man. And y'all can tell me what you think's going to happen, and this is nerd shit, but tell me this. Do you think eventually they're going to make a movie or two where all of the people in their standalone movies going to show up in one movie? You think it's going to lead to some shit? Some Marvel style type shit, you know?
Yeah.
It I hope almost, not.
I hope not either, though.
But then why would he be, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would he be signed on to more? Well, he might not be now, but you know what I'm saying? Like, why would they do that if they weren't planning on doing some shit like that?
Well, there is a history between him and Boba Fett, and the reason they mention that is because there is the next standalone movie was supposed to be, though that's in question now, is a Boba Fett film. So it would make
so that would tie him together, wouldn't it? Wouldn't he have to show up in it?
He would.
So that's not standalone.
No. Good question. Glenn, what do you think? You think they're kind of taking a Star Wars story universe and making these characters intertwined?
Probably a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is they probably have been signed to a bunch of movies so that they have the option to make more.
Right.
I mean, if this thing came out of the gate doing, you know, $150 million domestically its opening weekend or something like that and pull in, you know, $1 billion like the last few movies have, of course they would want him signed on for more stuff before he can be like, hey, we made $1 billion. We'll let you do another movie. All right. My paycheck just went up a lot.
Yeah.
This way they have it already signed in contract. It's like, this is what you're getting. We're good. So...
Yeah, and he's
not like retain him, I guess, was what that
Yeah, it's almost old studio system style.
Okay.
They have him under contract. There have been other actors who have been under contracts to make more sequels, and then that first movie bombed or whatever, and then they didn't make them, but they were still signed on to do more films. So I think that's maybe, yeah, I think, Glenn, you're right on that. It's to retain him to make sure, just in case this maybe did take off. Though, yeah, Don, you said you hope not, but do you think they might play at trying to intermingle some of these Star Wars stories films?
Depending on which characters they're going to be trying to make films around, like if they try to make a Lando Calrissian movie at this point, unless they go earlier in his past, they can't avoid but having Han Solo in it.
Right.
If they try to make a Chewbacca movie, there's no way they can avoid having Han Solo in it at this point. I'm sure there's lots of others. Yeah, exactly. Boba Fett too. There's been a few other characters mentioned, and of course pulling in the appearance of Darth Maul, if they decide to make a Darth Maul Crimson Tide or Crimson Dawn film, there's a lot they can do with that, but probably it's going to have some of the same characters.
Right. Which,
I mean, there's little way to avoid it because it's all an extended universe. Even with all the what they now call the Legends, the book series of the expanded Star Wars universe, they were all intermingled. There's just no way to avoid it. It's a universe.
Man, that was way better than the question I was going to ask. Okay, I'm glad I asked that nerd trigger question.
Nerd trigger question.
Yeah, I may have read a few of the books.
There's nothing wrong with that. I actually am full of shit because I watched the Forces of Destiny cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Me and my kid watched them.
Nice. And Paul, how about you? You feeling these intermingling kind of unavoidable, or do you think that, you know, how do you feel about that? Should, you know, these start crossing over more?
I honestly thought that they were setting themselves up for a sequel right away. Mm-hmm. I thought that the next story will be kind of the fall of the Kira character And then suddenly, maybe if they make a third movie in the thing, that'll be her redemption thing. So it kind of follows the arc of most of the villains, where they kind of, you know, the whole Darth Vader thing, you know, where he starts out as the hero and then falls and then redeems himself at the end. I could see that they were trying to set up for that type of character, but I also see where, yes, they would have the Solo in the Lando movies, the Boba Fett movies, and maybe a possible droids movie.
Dude, droids movie. I totally now want a live-action droids film.
But not like the old droids film, right?
Oh, come on. The cartoon wasn't bad.
Oh.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. yeah, intermingling. I like right now these two are different genres than the main Luke, you know, Skywalker saga. We only have one more in the actual Skywalker saga and that formula. You know, and then they're apparently they may be going to the past with Knights of Old Republic, which then really opens some things up. But I like these Star Wars stories that they are seem to be picking genres. I mean, the last one we mentioned before was almost kind of like a Dirty Dozen movie. And this one is more of kind of like a heist film, more than a Star Wars film. And I like that. And I know that's bugged a lot of fan and sparked fan rage out there. But, you know, I like the idea of that because I want that, especially if Disney. And yes, I mentioned it many times. I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. It's in my blood. But my God, every year we're supposed to get one? You know, I'm like, even for a Star Wars fan, I'm sitting here going, you keep mass producing them like that. And Andrew, I think, mentioned it earlier, too, that these films were only 6 months apart.
It shouldn't be 6 months. It should be one a year. I'm cool, you know, especially if they're cliffhangers and shit. One a year, I'm cool. Yeah. But more than one a year, I'm kind of cool because I like Star Wars movies. You know, like these ones, mm-hmm. I'm actually okay. I was very excited about Solo. I could do two a year. But I think most people, like the average audience, you know, unless the story keeps continuing, like, you know, they're not going to want to see two a year unless it's the same continuing story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, it's like, you know, all of us, we come from the age, back in my day, get off my lawn, kids, where, you know, there was a 2-year gap, 3-year gap between, you know, the original films.
Well, they just made way less movies back then.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have as much the technology that allowed them to produce a full 2-hour, 15-minute movie in 18 months. No. I mean, it's definitely a lot quicker the way they make films, but you can also see it in some ways. But the fans, and this is, you know, how I guess I'll close it is, I'm a fan, and I know saw a lot of fans who were pissed off about Last Jedi, and now they're even more about Solo. I'm like, you can't keep making these ones every year and keep having a good one, you know, that just knocks your socks off. You're by law of averages alone, you're just not going to have that with these films. But I was entertained with Solo. I didn't think it sucked by any stretch of the, you know, imagination, especially when I realized it's just a heist film, you know. But it seems like people are misunderstanding that these Star Wars films are supposed to be just blow your socks off every year, and they're not. I mean, look at the legacy of James Bond.
Mm.
You know, dude, what I mean?
Those people are so full of shit because, like, okay, so, all right, if you only want one movie every 2-3 years, we're only going to put out one toy every 2-3 years, only one game, only one show. Fuck right. You. They want you, it's okay to have a lot of Star Wars movies. They have a lot of Star Wars everything else. Why not? Dumbasses.
And the universe is huge. There's exactly. So many stories out there.
No, there's only 3 planets. Tatooine, Hoth, and Coruscant. That's it. Oh, and occasionally Dagobah. But that's it. You only have a collection of small planets in the entire universe that anything ever happens on.
It's the same planet with a different name.
That's what only eating pizza will do to your brain.
There you go, folks. The Star Wars universe is what happens when you only eat pizza. And with that, I think we will wrap it up for the night. Here's a great segment where we get the fine folks here to tell you where you can find them at when they are not here. And Dawn, go ahead first.
Sometimes you can find me in the audience.net.
Nice. And Glenn?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook and YouTube with the B-Movie Bunker and Guyana Bunker Productions. Find me with my gaming podcast, The Adventure Party, on gncast.com, or just follow me on Twitter at Guyana Bunker.
Awesome. Mr. Andrew Shearer, the lovely Andrew, go ahead.
Y'all, this is my favorite group to talk about movies with right here. Paul, Don, Glenn, Mark. This has been awesome. I at one point forgot I was on the show. I thought I was just listening to it. So I appreciate y'all having me on. My friends and I in Athens, Georgia make movies under the banner of Gonzorific, GONZORIFFIC. We made a movie called Space Boobs in Space on Amazon Prime, along with many others. So check us out if you feel so inclined. We don't have the money of the Star Wars or even the Asylum or Sci-Fi Channel or even probably the average YouTube maker. But we have way more cleavage than any of them.
You should make t-shirts that just says the most cleavage on the internet. There you go.
I'm not even a breast guy, dude, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not into robots, but I mean, Cherry 2000.
Pretty good. Yeah, Cherry 2000.
They come out with plus size robots. I mean, well, you know what I'm saying? Some over 40s. I have to change my. I'm going to get a cape. That's what's
going on. Andrew's already working up two more movies in his head right now.
So you want more of a Cherry like 220, 225?
At least. Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul?
You can join the more discussion about films on the Film Jerks community group. You can go to I'm going to call it Facebook because I can. I'm doing this in other shows now. You go to Facebook/groups/Film Jerks, and you can vote on our latest movies that we're going to discuss every month. And go there now, and you can get our latest discussion, which is on Battle Royale.
Nice. Yes, check out all these fine folks' stuff. You can find links on Special Mark Productions to them. I am very lucky to have the folks that I have on the show, and especially this group as well. I feel that. I hope hope you enjoyed the discussion and maybe looked at Solo a little bit differently than you may have when you first saw it out there. If you haven't yet, maybe this wet your whistle for it. We didn't spoil everything, but we did spoil a lot of things for you, which is what we do in the spoiler room, because that's our name. So thank you so much for listening. And now, just say goodnight,
everyone. Goodnight, everyone.
I'm flying solo, but not
so low. Solo. You can't get under it. So high.
Hey, all my friends out there looking for more Spoiler Room goodness, then why don't you check out our brand new Patreon page, patreon.com/specialmarkproductions, where you can get access to exclusive Spoiler Room episodes and a whole lot more. You can also find us on Facebook groups at SMPRD and on the Twitter at Special Mark Pro. Let your voice be heard and let us know what you would like to see in the Spoiler Room, as well as just how we're doing in general. We appreciate your support, and remember, in the Spoiler Room, the conversation is fresh, but we do spoil the movies.